All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Want to thank God for all of you who are returning. We also want to thank God for our visitor, Brother George. Thank you so much for making time to hang out with us here today. Hope today can be a blessing, and I hope you can find the friends in us in this little church. Amen. All right, guys, before we get started, as you guys know, as usual, we like to go over some quick announcements, some fellowship, let you know how our day went in evangelism and soul winning. So I'm going to go ahead and call up my wife and sister Eileen. Amen. They're going to give testimony of how their work of service was yesterday. So for those of you who know, we've been announcing that we have been preparing ourselves to go help Brother Angel Marquez down there in Imperial Beach to soul win, if you will. And so we finally had an opportunity to do so yesterday. It was a blessing to be missionaries and ambassadors with Brother Angel down there in Imperial Beach. We were helped by Sister Eileen as well as Brother George from his church. We had a door-to-door outreach. It went very well. We had the privilege to plant seeds, share Christ, and instruct folks on the proper meaning of salvation by grace through faith alone, not works. We also had a time to encourage each other on our way back to church and others who have been there in a while to come back. But most of all, you know, it was a great encouragement for all of us to help each other. Just remember, guys, that Christianity, it should never be a competition. We're all one in Him. And if we can avail ourselves to serve in other parts of the field to help other servants with their work, it is an amazing act of charity. So we split up in teams. We had my wife would go with some of the brothers. We had Eileen would go with me, and then vice versa. The ladies would split up, because what I've seen is it's a benefit to have a male and female presence, especially when you're knocking on a door and a woman answers or there's children. I've just seen that psychologically women are more receptive when there's another woman there. Amen. So it's just awesome to see my wife serve with the brethren, Sister Eileen. So with that said, I'm just going to ask them to give testimony to their experience now. So go ahead, Sister Eileen or Katie, whoever wants to go first. Thank you.
Hello, good morning. We had a really good time fellowshipping and going witnessing door-to-door down there in Imperial Beach. It was not as intimidating because, for me at least, because I felt, you know, we're in a new area, so I don't know anybody, and I'm able to just be able to witness a little more comfortably. We had some good interactions, some good conversations, being able to witness to people or to encourage them if they were Christians and what they should believe in and how to get saved and what the gospel is, the just simple little gospel that, you know, that the Bible talks about, that they just believe that it's through their works or good deeds that they get saved, or through their church and their religion. And so when we show them through the Bible that they can have full assurance where they're going to go when they die, it was, for some people, eye-opening. Like, they've never really heard that, you know, or, you know, they can now have full assurance because they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they believed and accepted Him into their hearts. And they're secure. So we had some fun times. We got to switch around. So it was just Eileen and I. And then on another block, it was Carlos and I. And then on another block, I went with the Brother Angel. And then from another area, I went with Brother Jorge. So it was really cool to be an encouragement. It was their first time door knocking. So they kind of got to see how we witnessed. And and just encouraging them to get up there and knock on the doors, you know, and have a conversation with someone that opens their door. So it was really fun. We had a good time. It was fun fellowship. It went so fast. I only thought that we were out there for an hour, but we were out there for 3 hours door knocking. And it felt like it was so fast because we had so much good fellowship. And we went, you know, block by block by block, and just witnessed and witnessed. It was so awesome. It was very fun. I really liked it. Amen. And Eileen, you would say anything?
Yeah, I had a really good time yesterday, and I got to see Brother Angel, how he goes out and witnesses, and he showed us around his town. It was really cool and fun. And
All right, amen. Thank you so much. Just go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise, amen, for all the good that they've done. So as you guys can see, we got Sister Eileen. She would go with Brother Angel and Jorge. And then, so they would go door to door together. And then here is Brother Jorge. ministering to this fellow named Jose. That was awesome. Eileen took this picture. This brother Jorge, guys, he lives in Tijuana. Brother Angel picks him up at the border to take him to church. And he went to school to officially be a translator. So he's very, how can I explain this? He is very intelligent, huh? And how he talks, Eileen, right? That day that he was, yesterday when he was ministering. So very, very humble dude. I took this picture. I like to take pictures through the little door hanger hole, right, that we have there, because I don't want the guy to feel shy. But that's Brother Angel talking to this young kid about the Lord. And then that's Imperial Beach. Afterwards, of course, we just had a good time of fellowship with Angel and had some pizza and just encouraging each other's spirit. Amen. So with that said, guys, we just want to encourage you that, as you guys know, we've been provoking a lot of you into love and good works. Let me just pour into you guys quickly those scriptures that we've been trying to provoke you guys in love, considering your labor for Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24 and 25. I'll just read them for you. The Bible says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So some of you haven't been soul winning with us yet. It's been 2023. Some of you guys haven't been evangelizing in years. It's been a minute. But the Bible just told us that every day that goes by, it's one more day closer to Jesus coming back for the church, and then before you know it, the judgment seat of Christ. And so, guys, you just got to start thinking, I better start laboring, I better start working for Jesus, because for all eternity, my reward is going to be proportionate to my service. So little work, little service, little reward forever. As much work and as much service, you have a chance of a much reward and much service. So, guys, start getting out there. Young people, older people, you can do something. You can pass a tract. You can hold a scripture sign. You can have a smile and just hand a flyer out. Guys, do something for Jesus. And then one more, Titus chapter number 3, in love. Remember, Brother Carlos is going to start provoking you guys, because some of you guys are no longer babes, amen. Y'all are no longer on that Gerber baby, amen. Y'all can start eating them solids, amen. So let me just remind you guys in love some scripture. Titus chapter 3 about good works. The Bible says here in Titus 3 verse 1 that you ought to be ready to every good work. And then later in Titus 3 verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Why? Well, God said it right here, because these things are good and profitable unto men. So you believed in Christ, that's good. But the latter half of your profession is working, laboring, serving, maintaining. Just like your car, you maintain it. Just like your health, you maintain it with vitamins and exercise. Just like you maintain your livelihood, you go to work to get paid from the world and that way you can pay your bills. You guys have duties and labors to work for Jesus, but you have to maintain that, amen? And that's what's going to profit you, all right? And so as you guys know in love, we like to call up people to give a testimony to encourage your heart that you can do it. And I'm so proud of Sister Eileen. She knocked on her own door. She was ready to answer, but no one answered her door. So we need to give her like 50 doors all by herself, amen? And afterwards, guys, today, just quick announcement. As we go over, we're going to have a baptism today, amen? Little Gibby is going to get baptized, so we're going to encourage that little guy. Nobody? Oh, okay, all right. I guess we got a little love for Gibby. There we go. So right after we're done with church at 3 o'clock, we're going to get ourselves ready. If he has to change or what have you, I'm going to quickly change into my clothes to baptize. We're going to go to the Buccaneer Park because it's easy to park. It's easy to get there. It's all flat service. You don't have to walk down steps to get there. So right down, if you take Pierview Way, the coast, we're going to just make a left all the way. You're going to go down Pierview all the way. You're going to see a little park called Buccaneer Park. You can just Google search it if you have a smartphone. If you need a ride, say, Brother Carlos, I need a ride. Somebody ought to give you a ride. If not, I'll give you a ride. We'll get you there. We'll bring you back. It's going to be awesome. So let's encourage little Gibby as he obeys the Lord in believer's baptism, and very proud of him that he's going to take his faith and move on forward. Amen. Amen. So that's the announcements. Next week, as you guys know, moving week for Brother Carlos and my wife. So next Friday, discipleship class is canceled. So Tuesday night, we're going to start moving. Wednesday night, we're going to have church. Thursday night and Friday, we're going to be moving. So if anybody wants to volunteer, should be a blessing. I got you for dinner, and don't worry. And then that following Saturday for evangelism, we're just going to take a rest because we're going to be probably settling in and everything else there in our home. And then we'll get back to our normal schedule thereafter. Amen. And those are the upcoming announcements. And then looking forward to next week. Remember that our church friends in Laverne, they bless us with 10,000 mail outs. So they're going to be inviting, again, our city that we've already been door knocking here in our neighborhood. to come to church. And as you guys know, different churches celebrate differently. That's all cool. They have an Easter service. But hey, we can get some people. That'll be a blessing. So what I was just telling some of the brethren is we can have a church barbecue. And then if people come, hey, they come. If not, that's all right. We'll have a good time. Amen. So just plan on the 9th of April. Let's have a church fellowship. We'll just have a good barbecue fellowship. And I know to get Diego to come back to church, I need to give him hot dogs. So I'm going to have hot dogs, Diego. All right, don't worry. And then for everyone else, we'll get you. Yes, Sister Katie, real quick. What's up? Yeah. We shared Friday, but we had a great time last Thursday. Soul winning was about 3 hours. We had Brother Joe out there, my wife, Sister Eileen, and Brother Manny. It was an awesome time again, just laboring, working for Jesus. We had a great time talking to a lot of people, Orthodox, Catholics, different folks. My wife was out there holding it down, Sister Eileen. She had a scripture verse. She was talking to this Roman Catholic named Javier, and then they brought me over to kind of get the conversation going. That was awesome. And, you know, again, I'm very stirred and encouraged by Sister Eileen. She's been stirred, amen. She's on fire. Don't worry, girl. It's all right, amen. Let another man's lips praise thee. So I'm boasting on Sister Eileen, amen. She's a ninja for Jesus. She's quick, but she's out there, amen. So, we're all doing it together. We're all doing it together, and we're all a family when we do it together, amen. So whether you serve with me or my wife or vice versa, we're all family laboring for the Lord, and we're having fun. Last Thursday, it was one of those nights again. We were out there for like 3 hours just talking to people, sharing Christ, contending for the faith, keeping it on Jesus, just trying to tell people that Jesus can save them and that he's sufficient. And so let's keep those souls in prayer. Thank you, Katie, for reminding me. So here we have it, study blogs. If you guys ever just want to get a chance to look them on our church website for different various gospel tracts or a little Bible nugget doctrine, if you have a question, there might be a thing that I've already produced for you to help you with, like the Trinity or salvation by grace or who Jesus is. There's a lot of articles you can read. I made those for you. Live stream links, you can follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or our Podbean. If you're working, you can't watch the video, you can listen to it at an MP3. Prayer. Most important announcement that we can make here at our church, if you need prayer, you can submit a prayer request online. You can call me, call a brother, say, brother, sister, pray for me. Women, call the women. Men, call the men. We'll be a prayer, a family of prayer, and that's what we want to be. So please avail yourselves of that. And then last but not least, guys, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, you can give at any time. We have online giving through the PayPal. We have the Venmo back there. You can give in the box. Just make sure that your heart is right with the Lord. Whatever you purpose in heart, you give to God with a thankful heart. Just know that you cannot outgive God. God doesn't need your money. The church does. But when you do so faithfully, you'll see how the Lord will respond to you proportionally. And so with that said, just take care of that between you and God. Y'all know we don't pass the hat. We're hoping that you'll be mature enough to say, Lord, you mean enough to me to be obedient. Amen. There you have it. So Galatians chapter number 4. Turn your Bibles now with me to verse number 21. Today, my friend, we're going to try to get to the allegory only in the Bible, the only allegory that is mentioned in the Bible. Let's go ahead and get there now, and hopefully we can get enough through this material to cover. It's very important when we discuss here methodologies and forms of interpretation, if you will, because you're going to have different churches and their methods of interpretation, whether they interpret the Bible literally, whether they interpret the Bible figuratively, whether there's different figures of speech, metaphors, similes, hyperboles, etc., etc. So that's Brother Carlos's job, gifted with the Spirit here to be able to study, to prepare the message, to be able to feed you guys the Word of God in its proper context and setting. And so with that said, God has so graciously preserved his word. We believe we have it perfectly here in our King James Bible. And there's only one allegory that the Holy Ghost has chosen to mention here today. And today it's very important that we understand what that means and what that is. And an allegory is this. You're going to read a story or an event that took place in the Old Testament. And even though the events that God alludes to it are not the exact things which took place, that's what the allegory is, because it is symbolic, or there is a lesson that God is going to take from a real physical event, even though the details are not there, and then expound it for you through the New Testament. And so today, we're going to be discussing that today. And the overall title or theme, if you will, of this message is that the heirship is through faith, not the law. The heirship is through faith, not the law. So let's read together Galatians chapter 4. Let's start reading together in verse number 22 through the end. And just to catch up our visitors, the book of Galatians, our theme approach is that it's not being written to tell Christians how to be saved. Rather, it's being written to save Christians on how to have a victorious life over sin. And that's only going to come about with sincere love for Jesus, yielding to the Spirit's power in you, not the law, not regulations, not rules, not commandments, not external things, but internal through the Word of God, letting God produce within you fruit with your willful obedience to Him. And that's how you can live a victorious Christian life. So Galatians is combating early Jews of the first century that were trying to go into Christian circles, trying to bring them back under the law, and that's combating that, right? That work system to try to come back into the Christian relationship, and then also encouraging Gentiles who were not Jews by birth, who didn't grow up under the law, don't go back to the gods, don't go back to the culture, don't go back to the things that you were saved from. Let Jesus continue to deliver you from those things, and Galatians is going to build you up on that. So let's read together verse number 22. The Bible says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." We'll get to it later on in our notes, but I just want you to see that there are two words that are very important when you're reading the book of Galatians. The first one is the flesh. The second one is promise. You're going to see that spoken of very frequently in chapter 5 about the spirit versus the flesh and the flesh versus the spirit. And so we're going to see how all of that has to do with the context of the book of Galatians. So keep that in the back of your mind. One was born after the flesh. Think about Galatians 5 and what it teaches you. And then one was born by promise. Think about Galatians 3 of those things. Verse number 24, the Bible says here, which things are an allegory. So again, there you have it, the only allegory mentioned in your Bible. For these are the two covenants. So one represents one thing, the other represents another thing, and we're going to find that out today. The one from the Mount Sinai, which genereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what say the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free one. And then the third key word we're going to talk about today is heirship. Okay, verse number 31, the Bible says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So, Father, once again, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for salvation. That's a free gift to all who believe in your son, Jesus. Lord God, I believe that the majority of us here today are saved. But God, just in case some soul today doesn't have assurance of salvation, I pray that today they would understand that you are offering them the free gift of eternal life, the free gift of the forgiveness of all their sins, all the evil that they could ever do, if they look to Jesus, believe on him, call upon him, and invite him into their heart to be their Savior. Today, God, I pray that you would instruct us from the Word of God. Help me to feed the flock now, the Word of God. And Lord, if I have any error in my human presentation, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take the living Word to minister to their spirit regardless, so you can continue to build them up, to conform them after your son's image, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you now, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So once again, my friend, coming back up here to verse number 21, 22, remember, guys, Galatians, the overall theme, it's not teaching us how to be saved, but how saved people ought to live in holiness and liberty for Christ's glory, because he made you free. You can read that in chapter 5. So ye, whosoever among you, remember we talked about that last Sunday, whoever desire to be under law, I gave you a good, sound, solid message on the law and its purposes and what it could do and what it could not do. And in a nutshell, the law condemns you. It could not save you. The law points out sin into your life. It cannot offer you eternal life. The law and the sacrifices thereof could never take away sins, but the Lamb of God, the person of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he took away sin. And I showed you from Isaiah 53 that Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice whose soul was offered to take away your sins. So if you have Jesus, you have something that is superior to the law. You have something that's superior to religion. You have something that's superior to your past, to your feelings. Jesus Christ, him crucified, was buried, and rose again the third day. Now listen, verse number 22. We're going to go back now in the Old Testament to kind of figure out a little bit, build a block up a little bit concerning the covenant that God made with one man by the name of Abraham, and how the Holy Spirit is going to use that man thousands of years later to teach the church kingdom of God doctrine. That is Christian doctrine. So do me a favor now. Would you do me a favor? Let's go to Genesis chapter number 12, all the way back there in our Old Testament. That's going to be the first book in your Bible. Should be fairly easy to find there. Just flip up in your Bible there to the first book, Genesis. It all starts with a promise that God made to one man by the name of Abram. His name would later be changed to Abraham. And because that man believed in God, the Bible says, his faith in God's word is the basis for the salvation pattern or model for all human beings on the earth. I'm going to show you that in a minute. And then number two, God would add a covenant to this man outside of the justification of this man's soul by faith. And that covenant would include not just a multiplication of his descendants, that is, that he would have descendants that were as numerous as the stars, or if you will, if he could try to count how many stars there was, that's how many descendants would come out of his loins, because God would bless him by the promise through Isaac that he would have a blessed, fruitful descendancy. So we're going to talk about the promise. We're going to talk about justification that he gave him when he believed the promise. And then we're going to talk about the covenant that God made him. But then we're going to go back to Galatians to see now what the Holy Spirit is going to teach us from this story, this event that took place between him and a woman and the offspring of that act of choice that God called of the flesh, and how that relates to the Christian as it pertains to the relationship between the law and the Spirit. One that is bondage, one that is freedom, one that persecutes, and one that is, if you will, free. So with that said here, Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says, starting in verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now, do me a favor. Just look up to the screen. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to show you quickly. Look at Galatians with me, chapter number 3 on the screen. Here's what the Holy Spirit is going to give you further exposition through whom that promise would be accomplished and fulfilled. So just look up with me now. The Bible says here in verse number 8, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed, so they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So somehow, some way, that promise that God made Abraham has some kind of a spiritual connection to the gospel of Jesus Christ and people believing it by faith. Well, let's keep going down here in Galatians 3. You can just look up to the screen. Look at verse number 14. "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So again, in Galatians, you're going to hear these terms, faith, promise, flesh, spirit, and that all ties in. And so that's why we compare Scripture with Scripture, and that's why we're going to let, if you will, the Scripture interpret themselves, so that way we don't allow commentary to try to fog it up for us. Now, one more, look at with me in Galatians 3:16 on the screen. The Bible says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ." So here's what God tells you. Long time ago, God made a promise to one man by the name of Abram. And he just gave him a promise that through his bowels, that is through his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And then God tells you thousands of years later, that promise continued through Israel. And then more specifically, we know that eventually his son Jacob would have 12 sons. One of those sons would be Judah. And then of Judah's seed, if you will, the descendants, the Lord Jesus Christ would be born after that lineage. And so that promise is tied to one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be through him and through his life that all the nations of the earth would have this ability to receive the blessing. And that is salvation. So as we're kind of discussing that now, I just want you to see there. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter 15. You should be in chapter 12. Turn now with me to Genesis chapter 15. As time goes on, of course, God begins to show this man as he brings him out of his former, if you will, life and his culture from the land of Ur, the Chaldees. He's just a regular Gentile man. By the way, Abraham, he was obviously not a Jew yet. The sign of circumcision that began to make a distinction of the peoples of the earth through Abraham's lineage with that act didn't begin to separate them as the Hebrews, if you will. Here is just Abraham as a regular Gentile, just from Mesopotamia. And so as time progresses, here we have in Genesis 15, verse number 1. The Bible says that after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" So Abraham is just asking God a question. "God, you gave me a promise. You're telling me that all the earth is going to be blessed through me, but I don't even have a kid. I don't have children. Is this servant of mine, this employee that I have, is he going to be the one who's going to be my heir?" Let's see the response from God. Verse number 3, Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Now here it is, my friend. Here is the greatest verse you have in your King James Bible. This is the basis for justification for all men, grace of God through faith alone in the word of God. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." For righteousness. So what did Abraham do? He believed in God's promise that he has the ability to give him a child, even though he's getting older, even though his wife Sarah is getting older. And now we're going to begin to tie all this to Galatians, the allegory and all the promise versus the flesh and his abilities, that God can fulfill what he said that he would do. So now let me tell you what an allegory is. An allegory is a figurative sentence in discourse in which the principal subject is described by another subject resembling it in its properties and circumstances. For example, any object or story or event, while presenting an allegory, the historical factual information of the above is not included, but to teach a lesson, it's unconnected with the factual literal information, but it's relatable in the figurative form in the presentation. This is the only time that God explains an allegory. All else is to be taken literal. For modern critics who will criticize the Bible, this context of Scripture, although in detail is not found in its original portion, that is in Galatians, is where God takes this information to present an alternate teaching from it. And that's what we're going to learn in Galatians. Remember that Paul is writing to save Jews and Gentiles in Galatians who seek to return under the bondage of the Old Testament law, presenting them an argument from wanting to return back to its bondage by using the story now of Agar and Sarah. So we see it now in Genesis chapter 12. God made a promise to Abraham that he would inherit land, that he would inherit blessings, and then through him, that is his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. I showed you guys now in Galatians 3 that seed was connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. Later here, the Lord told Abraham, "Of his own bowels will one come to continue in his inheritance of promise." The stars were used to describe the picture of his offspring. As time progressed, Abraham understood this promise would extend beyond his lifetime. To his seed, for his faith, God credits him righteousness. Not that Abraham was a righteous man, but time went on. As Abraham trusted God in one part of his life, unfortunately, he failed to continue to trust God over time. Does that sound like anybody here? Do me a favor now, go to Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter number 16. Let's read now the historical information, and then we will let the scriptures to interpret now the allegory from it. That is what God wants to teach us, a spiritual lesson, even though you're not going to see that here in detail, but we're going to see that spiritually explained in Galatians. So now look with me in Genesis chapter 16, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai." Now, first of all, Sarai, God never said that he restrained you. He gave you a promise. Second of all, Sarai, unfortunately, even though you're correct, you do have a handmaid and she is legally underneath your power. She's legally underneath Abram's power. He is the master. She's the servant. She doesn't have any ability to travel her own. Hence, if in that culture, you guys understand, servants underneath their masters in that time, she can't do anything but obey the master and the master, her mistress. But here's another thing here. If you look here with me quickly, in verse number 2, she said, it may be that I may obtain children by her. You know, Abraham, why don't we help God out? Why don't we try a little bit of our way with his way, and maybe the promise might just fulfill itself and eventually work itself out. We don't have enough time to give you spiritual application, if you will, some lessons from this, but let me just tell you right now. You can never help God do it his way with your way, bottom line. You have to trust God and let God do it his way all the time, but as soon as you begin to try to do things your way, it ain't going to work out. He is not going to try to accomplish his promises by you taking things into your hands versus leaving them in his hands. Now, can you ask him to forgive you? Oh, yes, you can. We're going to see that in the story. Can he restore you? Oh, yes, he can. We're going to see that in the story. But are you still going to reap the consequence for your choice? Yes. And that's what God is going to warn you and to prevent you from doing all the time. And so when he tells you to do something, just listen. And of course, we'll get there later. Number 3, look at verse number 2. Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Abram didn't take a time for prayer. He didn't say, you know what, wife, let me go ahead and talk to God about this. Let me see if this is something that he wants me to do. He just went ahead and did it. And so, again, another lesson. Unfortunately, he listened to his wife versus God. And we know later on in the New Testament, God will give us an order for the family. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible will describe to you that there is a hierarchical structure in how God expects the family unit to operate. God the Father, God the Son, the man, then the woman, and then the children. Jesus Christ is supposed to be the head over the household, but then the man is supposed to be the head over the household, not the woman. And then the woman is supposed to be in subjection unto her husband as unto Christ, and then the children are supposed to be in subjection unto the parents, if you will. But they're all underneath God the Father. And so if your wife, brother, tries to get you to do something that is contrary to the word of God, what you're going to need to try your best to do, my brother, is you need to try to say, sorry, wife, we're going to obey God here. I know it may not make you happy. I know your feelings might go contrary, but we are going to trust God here. Eventually, your wife will follow, will submit, brother, if you got to stay faithful. And then vice versa, women, you got to try your best to let God lead your husband to help you to fulfill the calling that God gave you. Don't try to take the lead of God by trying to overrule and dominate. Just stick to the biblical order, and you're going to see how God will bless that. So we'll get to that later. Let's keep reading. Verse number 3, the Bible says, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Now, here's another lesson. Even though your culture says it might be okay to do something, it doesn't mean that God is okay with it. So culturally, you're going to see there's a lot of concubines in these cultures. In these ancient days, a man could have a plurality of women in whom he would have physical relations to produce offspring. Even though culturally that was acceptable at that time, it doesn't mean that God was okay with it. And so again, guys, another lesson. Don't worry about your culture and what the United States approves of or what the local state laws say that this is legal now. If it goes contrary to the word of God, don't do it. Don't do it. So he went unto Hagar. She conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. I don't know about you, friend, but women have feelings. Can I get an amen? And if there's another woman up in the mix, it's going to hurt their feelings. Obviously, for those of you who've dated a guy before, if you were married before, sometimes you would get a spirit of jealousy if you saw your husband's eyes gawking after another woman who clearly was not you. Hence, you can see how they were doing it. Eventually, there's going to be problems if there's a marriage that is out of order with God. And I just want you to see, no matter how much they try to assist God after the flesh, it's not going to work out. And again, guys, we can give you so many spiritual lessons about you being faithful to one woman. Don't commit adultery. Don't try to find a spouse outside of your immediate spouse. It's not going to work out. You're not going to have peace. Again, we can get into all that later. But I just want you to see that when Sarah tried it her way, she thought she was going to be happy because the handmaid, Hagar, would have a child. And then she would kind of adopt the kid, right, to get the promise to go through that kid. But her feelings got hurt. She was sad and she was jealous because the one produced and she couldn't. She was barren. Now look at verse 5. Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. It's your fault. How many wives like to say it's the husband's fault all the time? Brother, don't say amen to that. Oh, they're not here. Amen, brother. No, okay. It's all your fault, Abraham. You made me do it, Abraham. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So she was mad. She was angry. Go ahead and do what you want, Sarah. You do. She's your servant. Remember, this is the cultural context. They have physical, legal rights over that woman, Hagar, that little Egyptian they got from back in the day. So then Hagar flees. She runs away. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. He said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. The angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, submit thyself under her hands. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. It's very sad. One act of the flesh, Galatians tells you. Abraham disobeyed the voice of God. He listened to the voice of his wife. They did something outside of the will of God. And now, what is the consequence? For the past 3,000 to 4,000 years, who has been the thorn in Israel's side? That wild man's descendants. Who are predominantly all your Muslims over there? They are the Arabians. They are the descendants of Ishmael. They're the Ishmaelites. They're crazy men, man. They want to take everybody out, but that's what God said. All right, now. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called the son's name, which Hagar bare Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So he's 86. But all this time, the promise was still there. They just didn't wait on God. So in the midst between when God talked to Abraham all those years ago, the promise is there. They just became impatient, so they try to do it their way, hence the flesh, and now they're going to reap the consequence and the problems. But is God still going to be faithful to his promise? Yes. Is he still going to deliver? Yes. But are you going to have to bear the burden and the consequence for a choice you did after the flesh? Yes, you will. You will. And so that's the lesson that we're going to learn a little bit. So Hagar, which is the Agar in Galatians, Sarai assumed the Lord shut her womb. Remember, she said that God is not letting me have kids, even though she heard the promise many, many years ago. You can read that in Genesis 18 and 19. So she assumed that God shut her womb. She didn't pray and ask God about it. She offered Hagar in her stead for Abraham's seed to continue. Abraham violated basic commands from the foundation of the world. You know, one man, one wife. Sarai sought to do something outside of what God ordained, and although culturally it was acceptable, biblically it was not. Hagar did not become Abraham's wife. Rather, she was given to function and serve as a wife. That is, come together, conceive, bear children, you know, like a pretend wife. Polygamy is clearly not okay. It's not beneficial, and all who try to do it emotionally, there is not going to be any instability in any woman, no matter what the TBS and all those, you know, TV shows want to show about those Mormons with all their wives. They're all happy. They ain't happy. They're not happy. And there's no way that that woman is going to be happy with one man sharing all these women. They got all the emotionals. They got all the hormones. There's no way. I don't know what they're smoking or what they're taking, brother man, but they got some else going on in there. Hagar despised Sarai and vice versa. Ishmael, verse 12, will be born while Abraham was 86 years old. And Abraham conceives Hagar. She gives birth. And this boy and his seed have since been the cause for war and bloodshed for all these years. Abraham got a son, but not through and by God's ordained method, the promise. So, what's another message that I can share with you today? When you got saved because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You were saved by the grace of God through faith. You understood that you couldn't save yourself, your works couldn't save you. Your past couldn't save you, all that. You understood that nothing but the blood. Okay. But every decision that you made before you got saved and every decision that you will make after you got saved, it's not going to change the promise, but it's going to add consequence to your life. And yes, God can still operate in you and through you, but you might still bear the consequence of your choice. And so this is why we need to take heed, my brother and sister, that if God gave you a promise and he tells you to wait if you're single, if he tells you to keep yourself pure while you're single, And then if you're married, he tells you to be faithful to one woman. Don't commit adultery. Don't look at porn. Don't do anything that's going to cause issues within your relationship with one husband and one wife. Don't do it, because the promise is going to keep you satisfied. The flesh will not. But the flesh will give you a temporary feeling of pleasure, and then it goes away. And that's why men or women are not satisfied, and that's why divorce happens, because other things begin to creep in which choke the word. So we need to be very mindful of that. Time goes on. Genesis 21. Let's go there. Genesis 21. 86 years old. He has a kid. And as time progresses, Sarah still hasn't had a child. So of course, naturally, she's becoming a little doubtful. I think if I were you, friend, 20 years, God hadn't talked to me, I'd be like, man, God, where are you at? I mean, you said you have to have a kid. It's been a long time now. What's going on? So time has progressed. Chapter 20. Let's read together, my friend. 21. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Man, I can preach a message right there. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. You know what happened when your Savior rose again from the dead the third day? The angel told the disciples, he goeth before you into Galilee as he had said. Can I just tell you something, Christian friend? He will be faithful to the promises that he gave you as a Christian as he had said. He will get you to heaven as he had said. He will forgive your sins when you trust the blood as he had said. He can restore your life. He can cleanse your mind. He can deliver you from sin and sinful habits as he had said, but you got to trust him. That's a good message, brother. We'll preach that next time. Amen. The Bible says, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Man, there's two messages right there. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll accomplish it. You just got to trust him. All right, now verse number 2. Sarah conceived, bare Abraham a son in his old age. That brother is 99 years old. This brother's old. He's about 100 years old now. All right, now bare Abraham a son in his old age at the said time in which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. So you can go back to Genesis 17 about the law of circumcision for Abraham and his seed. Again, all that. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Ha, ha, ha. But you're going to have some problems, Sarah. Ain't nobody laughing now, amen. But God is good. I'm rejoicing in his goodness, but ain't nobody laughing now, Sarah. She said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So, you know, Matthew, you and I, obviously, we're little babies. We are obviously on our mom for a minute. We are getting nurtured from our mother and, you know, from her bosom. And then before you know it, you can start eating on your own, son. Amen. You no longer need the breast milk. You can get that little bottle. Then you get the little carnita taco. You know, you can start eating little tortillas. You know, you can start eating, son. You're good. So he's weaned. He's going up. Now he's growing up. Sarah saw the son of Hagar. However, look at here now. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Mocking. Because Ishmael's still in the camp. Ishmael's still around. Hagar's still around. But my baby boy was just born. He's wee now. He's a grown little boy. But Ishmael, older brother, he's out there. And when Ishmael saw Isaac getting the feast, having the party, all the barbecue, he started to mock Isaac. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman should not be what? Heir with my son, even with Isaac. Where did you read that? Galatians 4. So now, where is the allegory coming from? Right here in chapter 21. Now, the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Obviously, he loved Ishmael. He cared about him. Obviously, he's his daddy. And it ain't going to make a dad feel good that a wife is disappointed by having children out of the wedlock. I understand. And yes, it is sad when a man has a child outside of his wife. It's very sad. And you and I have family members and friends that are guilty of having a child out of wedlock. Of course, it's going to be grievous. But that's his fault. And that's something that he has to bear for the rest of his life. Now, can God restore that man? Yes, he can. Can God restore that woman? Oh, yes, he can. But that man and that woman have to trust God, and they have to be willing to do it God's way from that moment moving forward. And if God commanded the husband in 1 Corinthians 7, husband, you need to please your wife. And if the wife says, husband, I need you to do this for me, I need you to do that for me, you need to do that. Vice versa. Woman, I need you to do this for me, to please me, to make me to trust you again for a thing you did. You have to do it, but God can do that for you in Christ. Remember, Galatians chapter 5, he can deliver you from the flesh and the lust and the pride. He can forgive you. He can restore your mind where sin corrupted that. He can restore the heart where sin corrupted that. So for people who have had bad relationships in the past, yeah, they had a kid out here or they did this out there, Jesus can restore. But if they don't want to let Jesus restore them, they're going to continue to do this flesh thing. Problems. And God, the Spirit, is out here just waiting to fulfill that promise, but he can't. So that's just another lesson. Let's keep reading. Made him sad. God said unto Abram, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, if you follow the story, go back to Genesis 12 all the way, many, many years later, about 20 years, give or take. This is the first time that God said, listen to a woman. Hey, Abraham, you can listen to her now because your heir is not going to have a union with the other son. Your son out there, it's not a part of the promise. Isaac is the part of the promise. I'm not ordaining Ishmael as your seed. I'm ordaining Isaac because that's what I said that I would do. I'm ordaining Isaac because that's the child that I promise you by faith, all me accomplishing, not the son, your flesh. I'm not going to bless that. I'm not going to continue this covenant through him. Go ahead and separate him. That's all right. You can listen to your wife. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. So you know why Ishmael is blessed? Because Abraham. It wasn't that child's fault, of course. But the only reason that boy is going to have a good life is because of Abraham, bottom line. And so you understand they put him away. Abraham was 99 years old when the Lord visited them again. Sarah is about 90. Maybe you can read that in Genesis 17. God ordained for the promised child's name to be called Isaac, and through him would the covenant continue with his seal. God supernaturally blessed him to conceive, of course. Genesis through Galatians, this story serves as an allegory. For us New Testament born-again Christians who've received everlasting life, we have received it because we believe the promise. We receive from Christ all that's needed from him to live for God, and we seek to turn from, if we seek to turn from Jesus to embrace the law, to conceive and grow a spiritual life, we're not going to have union. We're going to be outside of the will of God when we think that the law is going to make me more spiritual, when we think that the law is going to make me more righteous. Remember, the law is not a part of the heirship in Christ. That's not our covenant. We are not married to the law. We are married to Christ. If we go back now to Galatians chapter 4. So those are going to be our base text. We're going to go to Galatians, Genesis. Look with me now back in Galatians 4, verse 26 through 27. The Bible says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, now listen. This is what the Spirit of God is trying to explain to the Christian. Christians, you are just like Isaac. Because you are children of the promise, not of the flesh. Who or what does Isaac represent in this context? The law. Ishmael. Ishmael in this context represents the law. Who and what in this context does Isaac represent? The promise of the Spirit. So for those of us, whether we're Gentiles or those Jews in the first century who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they are going to be forgiven. They are going to be made heirs of God, but it's not going to come through the law. It's not going to come by their works of the law. It's not going to come by their deeds of the law. That's what the New Testament makes very, very clear. It's only going to come by the promise if they believe by faith. So those of us, like he says in verse number 28, brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. We are not going to have an heirship with Christ through the law. We are not going to have an heirship by commandment keepings of the law. No, in Christ. We receive the heirship from Christ, la herencia en Cristo, not of the law. But, now listen, here's the allegorical explanation. As then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So then what is biblical persecution? Well, let me take you back now to Genesis 21. Let's interpret Scripture with Scripture. Look at Genesis 21 again. Look with me now in verse number 9. There's a party for Isaac. He's a grown little boy. They're having a celebration because Isaac is weaned. He's now able to be a grown little young man. But Ishmael, he's a little older, about 16, maybe 15, however many years you want to do the math. He's older. He's an older brother. But he didn't get that celebration. He's not getting that accolade and that camaraderie from daddy. Look at verse number 9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto him, mocking. So then what is biblical persecution? It's mocking. Yes, sometimes you might be made fun of for being a Christian. That's all right. Sometimes you may not be invited to the party anymore. That's all right. That's persecution. It's not just limited to, you know, getting killed like a martyr or, you know, getting threatened, you know, like a lot of brethren around the earth. Mocking Christians for their faithfulness to Jesus Christ is persecution. It's kind of unique there when you let the Bible define itself. So, what are we learning? Our heirship from the promises of God are not united with the law. They are outside of the will of God when Christians seek to gain more of a spiritual union with God by works of the law or the union with the law. That's not our covenant. We are not married to the law. We are married to Christ. So in Galatians 4, 26 or 27, Sarah in Genesis, all throughout her lifetime, when the promise was made in the fullness of time, God fulfilled his promise of the supernatural delivery for the promised son, Isaac. And in a spiritual sense, Christ, remember that? Her children, all of us who believe in Jesus, we surpass the seed of the bondwoman, which is Hagar, the law. There are more children of God by the faith of Christ than there are by the law. Because the law, again, it doesn't offer life. Hence, it's under bondage. And all those people who seek to earn justification before God by the works of the law, or if you will, anything that has to do with that, they're in bondage. And that's what Hagar represents. Bondage. That's what Ishmael represents. Bondage. That's what the law is being explained as. 4,000 years until Christ, the law lives and exists. Just like Ishmael, he continued. God said, I'm going to bless Ishmael. He's going to become a great nation. So the law continues. But in that, there's a promise made in Genesis 22. And I taught you guys that not too long ago, that God would provide himself a lamb. And then later, when God would dispense the law in Exodus, remember the Passover lamb? Jesus is the Lamb of God, we would know in type. And then later in Numbers 21, remember the brazen serpent that Moses fashioned of brass, put on the pole, and all those Jews who were being rebellious, God said, if you look to that serpent and you believe, they'll be healed of that wound. That's a type of Christ. Isaiah 53, again, God providing salvation for his people without the works or deeds of the law. So when the fullness of the time was come, God fulfilled his promise without the law. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, an innumerable amount of children have been born into this family, God's family, which is called New Jerusalem. It's not of the law. It's not of the flesh. They're two different births. So let's go back now to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And let's read verse number 28 again. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, so it is now. Look at how Paul is speaking as a saved, born-again Christian. He's not speaking as a Jew. I told you in chapter 1 of Galatians, he's no longer of the Jews' religion. He is not a continual Jew, if you will. He's a completely new creature in Christ. He's saying, just like they persecuted, or just like Ishmael persecuted Isaac, the same way these Jews are going to persecute us for becoming Christians because we believe we're saved by grace through faith. We believe in the promise while they're clinging to the law. We're born again by promise, just like Isaac was through the faith. But in this case now, for us, we are born again by the faith of Christ. But those who remain in the flesh, that is living after the Old Testament law, they're going to persecute us that are in Christ like Ishmael did unto Isaac. You know what 2 Timothy 3 says? Let me read that for you. Look up to the screen, friend. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me share this with you. You can look up here to the screen. Verse number 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. If you're living, though, godly. Because if you're not living godly, then don't be surprised when nobody's mocking you. Don't be surprised when nobody's making fun of you if you're not living godly. But if you are, don't be surprised when you get something or someone contrary to you. It's a part of the package, but you're going to be all right. God's with you. He ain't going to leave you alone. You're going to be all right. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. The Old Testament said mocking. New Testament says persecuting. That's what it is. It's been all these years. So whether Jew or Gentile, persecuting them that believe has been what the law has been producing in its disciples. Obviously not freedom, not fruit of the Spirit, and obviously that's what we're learning now. You know, friend, the Bible is never wrong. The warnings are very clear. Those Christians in the churches of Gaul who throughout that, you know, that region that believed that the law could be a part of the union or the marriage between us and Christ, they were wrong. And they were in danger of being carried away and removed from him and obeying him. Ishmael represents the law and those who were following, that is, they were being held in bondage, they would mock the promise of Isaac. It can't be done. Isaac, an allegory, is in the spirit, and he sought to be friendly. But Ishmael, 16 years older, likewise the Jews, in these days they mocked the Christians because they were there before the New Testament. So just like Christ and the gospel came after the law and its dispensation, it's clear that they feel like they've been around a lot longer, just like Ishmael. And so they're going to mock the Christian, clearly. All those Old Testament laws and sacrifices are to be cast out for the faith of Christ, because clearly there is no union or unity between the faith of Christ and the bondage which the law offers. Because that covenant has nothing to do with Christianity. They cannot live underneath the same roof. So now let's come to a finish and a close here in Galatians chapter 4. Let's go back now to Galatians chapter number 4. The Bible says, starting again here, my friend, in verse number 25, for this Agar, here's what she represents, is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She represents the law. You know, you're familiar with the law, the Ten Commandments. And if you guys do some math, they say it's about 613 laws that God would add later to the people of Israel. But Agar represents the law, and the law represents bondage. You can look up in verse number 24. And the Bible says, Agar, Mount Sinai in Arabia, entered to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That's New Jerusalem. That's those of us that are a part of the promise in Christ. And it says, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. So God is teaching these Jewish converts in the first century, all of you who have believed on Jesus as the Messiah, as God, the one who died for your sins and rose again, you will be persecuted, just like Ishmael persecuted Isaac. You will be persecuted because here's what the law is going to keep them in bondage. And because they're in bondage, they're not free. And if they're not free, then they're not going to have love, bottom line. And then for those who became Christians, they've been made free from the bondage of the law, and they've been given a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind, and they're able to now be free from all those dictates that held them in captivity. And now let me end with this, verse number 30. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Here's a warning to New Testament Christians. We are not to intermingle Old Testament law with the faith of Christ. God did not intend for both covenants to be inside the same tent. The law is to be cast out from the union with Christ, for the law and those promises cannot both produce the same spiritual growth. Judaism cannot coexist with New Testament Christianity. God did not command to kill Ishmael, but to cast him out. Currently, God is building a new house, a spiritual people of the New Testament or covenant in Christ, if you will. You can read that in 1 Peter 2. And the allegory is that Ishmael pictures Israel. Isaac pictures a New Testament church. But again, you're not going to see that in Genesis 21. But that's the Holy Spirit giving you the allegorical teaching in Galatians chapter 4. Ishmael pictures Israel because they're persecuting the Christian church, whom Isaac is a picture of. God will fulfill both covenants, but not intermix the both. Consider when Christ taught in parable, but where he didn't speak in parable, he taught literal truth. Christians can live after the flesh. And unfortunately, it's possible, Galatians 5, not just sinful living, but attempting to live after the Old Testament law for spiritual perfection. Either of these will hurt the church. What's the point? We need to believe God just like Abraham. But don't stop believing God. We need to continue to live inside of the directive of God's words. Abraham, unfortunately, made one decision outside of God's directive. He made a choice in his flesh, which unfortunately caused him a lot of heartache and issues. But the covenant was still fulfilled because God's faithfulness to his word. Abraham, like New Testament Christians, would still be in a covenant relationship because of faith, but sinful living, listen, will hinder what God gave you. Joy, love, peace, etc., etc. So what I want to leave you with, let's go back here and I'm going to leave you with this. Look with me now in Galatians 4, number 22, 23. It is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. There's no need to cling to the shadow, which is the law, when you have the image, which is Christ. You're not going to be more spiritual because you're trying to keep the law's commandments. You're only going to be spiritually justified and made complete in Christ by faith. It's really good. But 23, the Bible says, he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise. So eventually, Abraham got the promise. Sarah conceived. Isaac was born. And Sarah said, that son is not going to be heir with this son. And God said, that's okay, Abraham. Take that boy. Kick him out. I'll still take care of him because of you. But I'm going to really focus on Isaac. I just want to leave you with this, friend. Do not be surprised. When you get saved, you are now a part of the covenant relationship with God by the faith of Christ. You're good. You're forgiven of all your sins by faith in Christ. But don't be surprised when your past catches up with you. And then while you're fellowshipping and you're having a good time and you're feasting because of the Isaac weaning, all of a sudden Ishmael runs around to remind you of that choice he made after the flesh. Are you forgiven? Yes. Are you restored in your heart and your mind? Like, you're not going to live like the way you used to anymore. Yeah, you're not going to drink anymore. You're not going to smoke anymore. You're not going to commit adultery anymore. You're right. You're not going to do that. But there might be a consequence. There might be an Ishmael that might come along your way to just remind you of how horrible that sin decision was when you made it long ago. Now, I'm not sure who you are today, friend. I don't know what you've gone through in this life. I don't know the sins that you've committed against God. Only you and your maker know, in your heart and your conscience. I know that there are things that you haven't told nobody, and that's all right, because I don't want to know, amen. None of us want to know those secret things, amen. But there's someone that knows. His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says he knows the thoughts of all men. He knows what's in the heart of men, John 2. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you've done. And when you think you've done it in a secret, there was someone who was watching the entire time. But I want to tell you how good this God is, the God of the Bible. Not religion, not the Baptist church, not water baptism, not anything to do. I just want to invite you and let you know that today God is willing to forgive you of all your sins. He's willing to wash away all your sins. He's willing to give you a new heart and a new mind to begin to teach you and to deliver you from all of your past life that you've done on this earth. He can do that for you, and he can do that with you if you're willing to call upon his son, Jesus, and ask him into your heart to save you. Will the consequence go away? No. But will you be in a relationship with God? Yes. So can God begin to use you now moving forward and help redirect the future for a better life than how you came in here? Absolutely. But now, if you now know the consequence of your choice that you made many years ago that has destroyed your life, destroyed your family, destroyed your marriage and your children, you can now see why you don't want to go back to the flesh, because it's only going to produce shame. It's only going to produce hurt. You don't want to go back to the drug, brother. You don't want to go back to the sister. You don't want to go back to the extramarital affairs. You don't want to go back to the abuse over here. You don't want to go back because now you see what it's going to do. It's going to hurt you. And even though it satisfies your flesh temporarily for a season, it's not going to satisfy you forever. But Jesus Christ today, he can be your complete satisfaction. He can completely deliver you from drug habits, from whatever other habits you have in your mind, in your heart. He can deliver you from bitterness in your heart. He can deliver you from pride in your heart. He can deliver you from anger, but you just got to let him do it. You got to trust God that he can be faithful to his word, just like he said. So today, friend, we're going to get to chapter 5. God willing, next Sunday, it's going to get him better. Chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the flesh and of the spirit. I just want to let you know this. You and I are part of the new covenant, which is in Christ. Just like Isaac, he's the child of the promise. We are children of the promise. The flesh, the law, it cannot produce life. It cannot produce the heirship. I just showed you the Bible earlier. We are not heirs by the law. We're heirs of God by faith in Christ, not by the law. And if Abraham made this one decision, and now that story went down for the record books to let you know, here's the lesson. I just want you to consider yourself, every choice you make, what is going to be the lesson? In other words, what can I learn from Giovanni's life or Anna's life or Dina's life or Stephen's life or Eileen's life or my life? What can I learn from my record? Man, brother, sister got saved here, made a choice over here. It wasn't good, but man, they got it right and now they're over here. What can we look now and when we go back into the record book to say, man, if only I had done that better, if only I had avoided that better, I could have enjoyed this a little earlier. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I could have been saved a little bit earlier. I could have had a little bit more peace earlier. I could have saved my marriage. I could have saved my child's life. I could have prevented this. I could have, if I just trusted God and did it his way. But you can't go back in time. We can't go back in time. But God, he can come into your heart today. He can begin to redirect. He can begin to renew. He can begin to create new things, better things, a better future for you if you just trust his son Jesus and let him deliver you today from whatever you got going on. And he can give you a better life and a better promise, even though you may have an Ishmaelite over here. He can still fulfill some great things for you, even though you may have an Ishmaelite over there. So today, friend, I just want to let you know there's still hope for you, no matter who you are. No matter what your past was like, no matter what you've done in the flesh, no matter what sins you've committed, Jesus Christ invites you to be saved. He invites you to experience his forgiveness of sins for your life. He invites you to experience his deliverance from all the past and everything you've ever done. He invites you for a better life. But the choice is yours. Do you want to maintain Hagar over here, bondage over here, or do you want to enjoy Sarah and the promise that God has over here? The choice is yours. For me, I've chosen Jesus. I know I can't right all the wrongs, but I know that right now, the next step I make, if I abide in the will of God and I'm trusting God and doing it his way, I have the promise from God that I'll have a blessed tomorrow. And it's been good now, living faithfully with the Lord, living pure for the Lord all these years now that I've been saved, I wouldn't regret going back to the person that I used to be. Anybody out there? Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. So Lord God, I want to thank you for this message. Lord, we learned a lot from your Bible. Lord, I thank you that you taught us today, God, that the Christian has no business with the law. The Christian has no business trying to hang out with things that lead to bondage. Lord, I'm so glad to be delivered from bondage. I'm glad to be delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ from those things which could not satisfy you, the things that can't change my heart, the things that cannot take sin out of my heart and desires out of my mind, but Jesus can. I'm so thankful, God, to be a child of promise, just like Isaac. And all of us that are Christians here today in this house, I'm thankful that we're all children of promise like Isaac was. Today, God, I don't know what every member is still battling with or struggling with. I don't know what the Ishmaels might be in their life. I don't know who the Hagars might be in their life from the bondage that it used to be a part of. Maybe associations, maybe relationships, maybe friends, maybe gangs or whatever that thing, whatever ties or affiliations they had with that bondage. I don't know. But God, I'm thankful that you invite them nevertheless to come to Jesus. And I'm thankful that you invite the Christian who has backslidden and who has wandered from you to come back to your son Jesus to find in him restoration, hope, and forgiveness of sins. So today, God, I pray that all of your Christian children here today would cling to Jesus, would cast away the shadow of the law. And if any of them still have ideas or things or feelings from their works or times past or cultural this and cultural that, I pray, God, that they would be willing to cast that away and cling to the cross of Christ so they can find in him joy, love, and satisfaction. So, Father, today I thank you that we are all available to be children of the promise, just like Isaac was, by trusting and believing the gospel that your son died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead. And you promise anybody here today that if they're willing to put their faith and trust in him, that you will save their soul, forgive them of their sins, God, and give them an inheritance that the law couldn't do, their religion couldn't do, their family couldn't offer them, their culture couldn't offer them, but you, as a great God, you offer them right now. So God, thank you for offering all of us that hope. So Lord, help us now to enjoy the rest of our day as we're going to prepare ourselves to water baptize little Gibby, Lord, so we can honor and be obedient to your commands in this Bible. And we thank you, God, for his parents here to support him and show him love in that. Lord, help us all to have a good rest of our day. We trust you. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church. Love you. Let's go ahead and get ready. Amen. We're going to be getting ourselves down there. May the Lord bless you.